Welcome back to the MTR Network. This is a Movie Trailer Reviews podcast. This is going to be a spoiler review, but it's going to be on the Movie Trailer Reviews podcast feed because the movie we're about to talk about, the only way to talk about it really, I think, is to do spoilers because I don't want to jump around and not be able to talk about this film the way it needs to be talked about. We're reviewing Destroyer, and I'm being joined by Brandon, Joy, and Ro here. Joy, you're really becoming a regular now because we've had you on for like, what, the last three reviews or something like that. You've been in this network for a while.
Yeah, I need somebody to talk to about these things because I always have a lot of questions and concerns. And so I just like bully myself to talk to you guys about it.
So we're reviewing the movie Destroyer, like I said before. This stars Nicole Kidman, and it's a police detective reconnects with people from an underworld, from undercover assignment in her distant past in order to make peace, which is a horrible description of what this movie is. It's directed by Karen Kusuma, I believe that's her name. And I think I'm the last one to watch this movie, so I'm going to let you guys go ahead and speak first, and then I'll jump in. So what did you guys think about this movie?
I'm still trying to figure out why this movie has to exist.
Yeah, I don't get it. I'm sorry. Like, Nicole Kidman, zombie, heist, frenzy, bad mother, terrible person, super asshole detective, kind of racist. I'm not getting it. And this was another one that keeps popping up in the female directors that you need to pay attention to and watch films from this year. And I was like,
Okay, I take less issue with the whole wanting to talk about her from a female director point of view, because she did do some interesting things with reinventing or reimagining the noir kind of storytelling and story elements from a female perspective. It was the writing that really got me for this story, and it was the direction, the story arc storyline choices that killed me. That and the fact that I will never understand why white women think, and yes, I'm saying this as a general monolithic white woman, think that the way to convey that you are emotionally unraveling and dealing with some shit that's got you in a really guilty place is to look like you haven't taken a bath.
Yo, so wait,
is for a hot decade in your life.
It's Nicole Kidman with what was her character name? Aaron. You got Jessica Jones. Like, you got every single one of these women. Look, they have not.
I need to understand why this is the standard trope that the first thing they do is get a foul haircut that they then don't wash, and to wear some deconstructed masculine tailored clothes that they then wear the wrong size of, either too big or too small. Both are just wrong decisions on the spectrum, whatever your body size, and then to run around looking like they've never met a deodorant that they didn't have an offensive relationship with and therefore broke up with, and water is the enemy. I just don't understand why they think that kind of building that is the building blocks of a character who is having serious emotional and psychological issues with dealing with the shit that they have brought into their life is the way to convey that on screen. I don't understand it. I don't.
I just feel like you can't not look at the director for this and go, oh, these are all bad decisions and problems. And this is part of the conversation that critics are trying to have, is this is a film that people need to see. And I'm watching it and I'm going, no, it's not. It's not.
I agree. First of all, Nicole Kidman looked like beef jerky. I'm just going to be honest here.
Well, you know what it is? Jerky. You know what it is?
Right, Joy.
What flavor of beef jerky is this?
Her face, like, I kept looking at it. I was like, it looks tough. Like, it just looks really tough. And I did not know how to respond. But no, so Brandon is correct. I Destroyer premiered at TIFF. And I remember people telling me, like, you need to see, and I didn't get a chance to. And then I got the DVD and I was like, what is this? Can I just say, this is not even a film that has anything to do with this. If you want to see a film this year that was directed by a woman that is really good, please go see The Writer, because that is actually a very good film directed
Thank
by
you.
A woman.
Thank you.
Bro, no, I'm telling you this right now. So I watched it just because I had a certain amount of quota for Sundance films that I had to hit to cover. And I was just like, okay, well, they have an advanced screening of this in the city. I'll just watch it. But I had no interest in it. That is a very good movie.
Wait, the one about the bull rider, right?
Yes, it is very good.
It's actually, yes.
And the director is going to be directing Marvel's The Eternals. So check it out for her. So she did a great job. Well, Chloe Zhao did that.
The thing about Nicole Kidman,
I think everything about the writer works.
So Trace, I don't understand why those are can you ever forgive me, or those are films that need to be in that discussion. I don't know why people keep trying to force Destroyer up in this discussion.
Okay, I'm telling you, some of these, okay, look, we can put it on the director because she didn't look at Nicole Kidman and say, I think you've gone too far down the rabbit hole. I don't know exactly what you're trying to channel here, but maybe we can make some different decisions. But this story construction, Nicole Kidman takes completely and utter control and responsibility for this, how she says that this character came together. Now, people agreed with her, and this just means you don't have the right people in your editing process when you're doing table reads and costuming. But the story I wanted for Destroyer is the one that's in the flashbacks that we don't get. That looked like an interesting movie. Like the build up to the heist, is it a cult? Is it not a cult? All those questions that came in there, you know, oh, she's a rookie cop who goes undercover with a seasoned FBI agent. And, you know,
all bad decisions. Real. All bad decisions, by the way. Can I just say all bad decisions? I'm like, what makes you guys think that was a smart thing to do? Like, that just what didn't make any sense. And like you said, that is the story that should have been told. And instead, we don't get any of that.
No, and it's the one the trailer promises you because you think the trailer's showing you whatever the end of their, you know, investigation is. So what really pissed me off about this movie, I think 5 minutes into the movie, I knew the whole movie. Like the very opening sequence where another thing to note about this movie is it's told completely, you know, out of order, and you get a circular non-linear storyline. So if you don't like those, don't bother. But
hold on. Before you go further with that, though, I like those stories. I like those stories. But the way they did that was just bullshit. It was so cheap. I'm like, I kind of figured that that's what they were gonna do. But it's like when they did it, I'm like, you guys didn't earn that. You didn't like. I love these kind of movies, but you didn't earn what you just did here, and that was so cheap. I found it very, very cheap.
Like what? Like you're saying, you like the, what is the story that I'm supposed to like? Because it just seems to pull a lot of elements from those films that you like so much, but not necessarily laying the groundwork for a fleshed out story. It just
this could have worked. This is the part where I take issue with the director. Like everything she did, she cheated. Like you said, she picked and chose and cherry picked from these types of movies, and you know, any two times that you make the circular posthumous story telling kind of thing feel like it was better done in Net or Die Alone with DMX as your disembodied narrator, you've already failed. Yes, I said it. I said it. So like the whole premise of this is she walks up on a crime scene when she first gets in. She's drunk. She's funky looking. She got an attitude. Three things that you don't expect in your police detectives. That's a lie. But and then so she looks at this body, and then as she's wandering away, she's like, well, what if I know who did it? And I was like, I know the whole movie, and I really don't want to waste. Can I go now? I'm ready to leave. And that pissed me off.
Kickflips? You didn't like the skater kickflips that added the dramatic feel to the intensity of the situation you were seeing on screen? That was her face?
Yo, did she die? Like, did she die at the end with those skater kickflips? That scene made no fucking sense.
I was waiting for the gunshot when the... That's what I was waiting for. I was waiting for the gunshot to go off when the skater finally hit. I was like, okay, they're going to time her gunshot with when the skater's skateboard hits the ground again. Waiting for it. No, it would have been, but at least that would have had something. It would have had an end. Then it just faced the block. And I'm like, oh, fuck you. Go fuck yourself. I mean, at least she would have died. And I would have been like, okay, but I'm like,
I didn't perfectly time her own death though. Like, that's what I kept wondering. I was like, so you just know it's like, now is it? Did you start seeing white? Like, I don't understand. Like, I'm done now.
I mean, she was on so much stuff at this point. She's fading in and out. I didn't know what the heck was going on. But it was just like
3 hours later. Like, you know, sometimes people they died and then they wake up like, hold on, I'm not dead, actually. I guess
she was going to pull a Deadpool. Not quite gone yet. Wait, hold on.
I just passed out because I haven't eaten or showered in 4 days. Ugh. All right, let me get to the
hospital. Does anybody, do we know how many days this movie was over? Was it really?
Too many?
It like 24 hours, 48 hours? What are we doing? What is it?
Too many days?
It's a week. Sure.
It was a week?
It's a sure.
No, I just want to know exactly how long they could drag this out. You just like, I'm gonna come to your house and hit you in your eye. It's a sure.
It's a sure. Like this movie, and this is not a compliment. This is not a compliment. This movie immediately reminded me of Peppermint. I was like, oh, I'm so tired of these white women.
Peppermint did it better.
It is. That's the crazy part. I would agree. The action scenes and stuff in Peppermint make it a better film than Destroyer, because Destroyer is you just watching her destroy herself and destroy a bunch of other people of color and destroy these flashbacks and these memories and destroy her child's childhood and destroy her ex-husband and like just destroy all logic as far as directing that piece.
Wait, you mean
that's the part that really killed me?
Wait, you guys didn't like the really slow chase between Aaron and Arturo at the part of that movie where they're both like out of shape and running and chasing after each other? And you're like, what the fuck is this? You know what that reminded me of? And Brandon, remember this. Remember that slow ass Eric Bana fight scene in Hannah?
Nigga.
That's what this reminded me of. That's what this shit reminded me of. I was like, you sons of bitches.
That Eric Bana fight, which still fuck that movie. And the fucking fight scene in the first Jack Reacher movie at the end, where they decided they weren't going to edit it, and they were just going to let two old white dudes fight it out with no choreography in mind. Like, that shit was a cool struggle.
Oh, God. Yo, this it was so bad.
It could have worked.
No,
like, even if you want to tell me, like, okay, for the people who don't know, and we gave the most horrible description, this is basically a cop in the aftermath of a really fucked up investigation. And you're thinking like most of the, like if you're anybody else coming in, it's like, okay, she had an investigation go wrong. Somebody died. And they're making all these over hints for all this stuff. So you're like, you know, she's never really processed, you know, what happened when this investigation went wrong. Maybe she's blaming herself. So you got that going on for most of the movie. But you click in real quick that this bitch is trash.
Yeah,
she's just a trash person.
Yeah,
she is a trash person.
She was the one she convinced, because Sebastian Stan in this movie plays Chris, the FBI agent, which is kind of weird to me because he's supposed to be the seasoned FBI agent while she's the. I appreciate this because, you know, I know Sebastian Stan is younger than Nicole Kidman, but they made it seem like she was the rookie cop and he was the seasoned. I was like, you know what? I'll allow that. All right. You know, equality across ages. I feel with that. All right. They then you quickly find out that they obviously start having, I don't want to say it was, I thought at first it was an affair, but then you find out that it's not an affair because I guess she didn't have anybody else at the time, but they basically fall in love while they're undercover with this cult slash whatever the fuck is supposed to be led by.
Bank robbery crew, right?
But I never understood why they were infiltrating the crew with.
They got a fucking leader, dog. Yeah, like, they got a full ass leader. Doc Doom is leading this fucking crew. Scared of him. And yeah. I don't think they explain that well either.
No.
I was like, oh, we all got, like, there's a situation they show in the movie that involves a gun. And all I keep thinking is, but we all got guns. Like, what makes you the head honcho?
That's the thing.
Like, also, with that wig that he had on? That wig was terrible. I'm sorry. Yeah. Wig took me out.
So
careful.
Were you not just waiting at some point in time to just pull it off and start flipping it around his head and then throw it in the fire when they were out of sight of the bonfire?
No. Toward the end scene that he interacts with Nicole, Aaron, he did have that. I think, did he not? Either he pulled that wig off or it was on his head. And I was like, thank God. Now you actually look like.
It wasn't on his head anymore because
it wasn't on his head anymore.
Which I was happy about. I was like, okay, finally, now I can take you seriously. Great.
So they never established why that they need a seasoned FBI agent and a.
No, they did. They did. The guy in the little scene when they were first talking about why her in the room, they were investigating a series of bank robberies, and they suspected that this crew either knew something or was in fact the people who were involved because they had been fencing or something. And I only know that because another critic told me, because I walked out going, why in hell? What the fuck is going on? He's like, oh, yeah. And that one FBI agent whose name I don't remember because I was angry he was in this movie because he's a good actor. That's what he said in the room.
The Hotep? You talking about the Hotep nigga from Dear White People?
No.
I'm talking about the white dude who was in charge of everything at the FBI.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. So you're right. It's such a small thing. Yeah. It's such a small thing.
He's
a solid
character actor, and I was mad that he was here.
Well, because they didn't.
Oh, you're talking about the FBI agent guy who was like, "You look like a fucking mess." Is that him?
Yes.
Okay. Mm.
Well, because usually in these kind of films, you at least go back to their handlers, and you find out that listen, they're going to pull them out because hey, listen, we have some concerns because there's certain things they were doing. Like at some point, Sebastian Stan plays Chris, and Nicole Kidman plays Aaron. I mean, they're doing drugs. They're clearly in too deep. And you see at this part in the movie, you have some concern by their handler going, we have some concerns or something there. And they don't establish that at all. They don't.
Sir, was that pun intended?
Huh?
Was that pun intended? Because I was about to say, Omar Epps did this way better. Like, In Too Deep is a much better version of this film.
Well, it wasn't intended, but you're right. Everything's better than this film. Everything's been done better. We've seen better all the time. Matter of fact, this movie I was like, what was the movie earlier this year with 50 Cent and what's his name in it?
Gerard Butler.
Gerard Butler. It was like the Heat wannabe film. That did it mm-hmm. better. Like that
you
film
mean
was
Den of Thieves.
Den of Thieves did it better. Like there's a ton of films that have done this better, done this type of film better. And this
that's
film
because they just yeah. Well, I mean, think about it. We all collectively said the movie we wanted to see was in the flashbacks, and therefore we did not get the movie we wanted to see. So, but automatically. Nothing that they chose to do is going to be the best of their choices.
right. But even then, if you're going to right, but even then, if you're going to do that,
notice that shit. Yeah, the way they created those flashbacks and showed it to us, they teased us with the build up through this whole film that we were going to get to see what the fuck happened to Chris, and that was the film doing that. It wasn't like mm-hmm. they lead us in that direction. They pulled us by the collar through this film slowly, mind you. Waiting for this. And then when you finally see it, it is the most really? That's what happened?
Like there
you had you hadn't figured it out by the time they showed you?
Because
I mean, no, I knew who went and who didn't. I'm talking about like the levels of the heist. The degree of it, right? Motherfucker, the Dark Knight has a better opening heist scene than this film ends on, and this film builds all the way up to that memory.
I'm pretty sure the crew in Dark Knight wasn't as high.
Yeah, but that's nothing to do. Huh? These motherfuckers are high as shit.
Joker's man be pretty fucking high.
So what you find out is that Chris and Aaron basically, Aaron kind of, I don't understand how a seasoned FBI agent gets pushed to this by the rookie female cop, other than your dick is not your friend, which is really what this movie is really about. Call, right, this movie is really about your dick is not your friend. They agree that they're going to let these this crew run by, what's it, Kobe Tubble, what is his character name, was it Silas? Silas, Silas. They're gonna let him because the job they're gonna run is to get $7 million. They're gonna let him run the heist, and then they're gonna take some of the money for themselves and pretend like they weren't part of the heist. Which none of their plan for how that was gonna work didn't make sense to me. It didn't make sense to me. It's like, how were you guys thinking you guys are gonna get away with this? I can understand the rookie cop thinking this, like Aaron thinking this.
They weren't supposed to originally do anything except for be lookout. So they were just planning on letting it go down, taking their cut, hiding their cut, and then turning them in.
Oh, I know that, but what I'm saying is but my thing was, if you don't kill those other people, they're just gonna say, you guys were in the car with us. You guys took the money too. We took all this money. Like, I don't understand what their plan was for how they were going to get away with taking the money. Like, I get that they said what their plan was. I'm saying their plan was dumb. Like, really, 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 really dumb.
No, it was dumb. When they were like, then 3 months later, you can quit and then I'll quit and we'll both quit and we'll leave the country. I was like, oh, she didn't think this out at all. Like, no, she just, wow.
There's no,
not a good, that's not good at all. Like, you steal money.
She was high.
Well, if you steal money as a cop, you gotta continue being a cop.
I think Rose is right here.
A hot 5 years before you even think about going down and like getting hurt and going on leave.
Yeah, you can't just leave after that. You can't be a part of a $1 million heist and then money disappears and then 3 months later you quit and this whole we'll leave the country. What I've come to find out with these characters is they never fucking leave the country. They think they're going to Wyoming. That's leaving the fucking country, and that's not the case. So. This wasn't well thought out, but it's also just very lazy fucking writing. Like, now I blame the screenplay. Because that's just lazy dialogue, lazy writing, and a goddamn.
I mean, but think about it. We are talking about the parts of the movie that we didn't get. We're not even talking about what the movie's about. This broad shows up on a case, and then suddenly it seems like she's going off on a tear to, she's solving her own case, and you go back to her old FBI and she asks about money. Is this the money? And they keep throwing out all these hints about the movie we were talking about, The Heist. And then you realize, okay, who do you know can go that many days? Like you saying this movie took a week. Your boss done called you, your partner done called you, the supervisor done called you, and you ain't called back in and you ain't do nothing and you still got a job.
She was involved in a firefight in a crowded bank. And they were just
into another restaurant.
Hey guys, Aaron, look, I know you're a little busy right now, but I really need you to call me back. Like, these are our bosses calling. I'm like, what do you mm-hmm. No. Don't you have a tracker on your car? Like, no, you can find out who this. What are you guys doing? Go to our job. What's going on here? It never made sense. I'm like, that's not how this goes down. Like, she literally opened fire and didn't wait for backup and, you know, in a crowded bank. Huh? You got the cop shot. And I'm like, wait, how are we doing this? What's going on?
And then threw somebody in the trunk that she told to be quiet. And it was like, okay.
Right.
I'm like, well, hold on, bro. Like, all you had to do was make some noise. Not to blew her spot up.
After beating that person up in a crowded place where I'm like, people can identify her. I'm like, cause she looks like deaf. Like, oh, who was the cop that you saw beat up this other woman? She looked like, I don't know, like an extra on The Walking Dead. Oh, you mean Aaron. Oh, okay.
Not even just that. The person that she beat up was high as fuck, higher than her. And for some reason, she took that order serious. Like when you threw her in the trunk and she was cackling the whole time you were shutting the hood. As soon as the hood shut, she got quiet when your boys was around. Come on, man.
Can I talk about how they wasted Tatiana Maslany in this movie as a general principal?
Please do.
Yeah. I mean, I spent half the movie going, part of the reason why I wanted to see the flashbacks is because I realized that's where all the cool shit happened, because that's where Tatiana Maslany was more important. But even in the flash forward of her running around trying to find Silas, who's apparently quote unquote back, Tatiana is his second hand person. The best part of this movie is when she's walking across the park after she's picked up the money from, I almost called him Josh Lyman, Lord Jesus. In the park from where she's going to get the money that from the heist that they've been having laundered, where she looked like she talking to herself crazy. And then where they're prepping to go in, and then she just hops out of a van and pulls a mask over her face, and they're like, oh shit, they robbing the bank today. She's not going to meet this dude. All of that, her whole character, her craziness. I mean, she's a brilliant actress. I would have been happier if she had played Aaron Bell.
Well, but she should have. That's not even a question. The only reason that she didn't is because they're trying to really push Nicole Kidman. And I get that she's Nicole Kidman. But Tatiana Maslany has, if you want to have a transgressional story where you're having a character show like different, like just dynamic growth or just dynamic downfall to where she looks one way in one scene and looks completely different in the other. And it's like two different people being meshed together. Tatiana Maslany has absolutely proven over 5 seasons of one show
and 8+ characters,
crazy characters, right, all at the same time. But you pick Nicole Kidman, and y'all would like to, not to say that Nicole Kidman is a bad actor, I like Nicole Kidman, but y'all were like, we really need to play her up, so let's make her look like Night of the Living Kidman. And then see, we'll,
that's
also
the whole point, they had to rely so heavily on her physical appearance for you to get the understanding that she's mentally deconstructing. That tells you right then and there that she's the wrong actress.
Well, you know what they also could have done? Because it goes back to what they were, when Aaron convinces Chris to do the heist. I guess this movie does a lot of things where they're trying to hope that the audience puts things together and shrinks it together. But I'm like, when you're this all over the place with your story and your flashbacks and things like that, you have to be more direct with some of these things. They're basically trying to say that the reason why Aaron really wanted to get this money was because she got pregnant, and I'm assuming never told Chris. And so her whole thing was, we need to do this so that we can be set with our family. But she never told Chris that, and I'm assuming that her whole thing with her daughter, her going, you know, becoming a fucking mess afterwards, is that she felt guilty, not just because she forced Chris to do this, but because she did it because she got pregnant and whatever the fuck. If that's the case, they just don't do a good job of establishing that. They kind of try to hide it, and I'm like, if you would actually kind of lean into that, well, it's not the story I would want to hear, at least would have made more coherent sense where the character's going, but they didn't even do that. So it's like, you're right, she has to rely on the physical appearance of Nicole Kidman, because they don't set up anything up so you can understand where her character's, why her character got like that. Why she's literally walking around like a drunken fucking fool. Like, you don't get it.
I still feel like her having a job all this time, looking that fucking messed up and everybody knowing that she's fucking messed up, speaks to like testament of the fact that she doesn't have to worry about not having money in the future. Not to mention, if you take down a $1 million heist group back in the 80s or whenever this took place, then don't, like, over the years you get bumped up to like super lieutenant and shit.
No, because she wasn't an LAPD officer. That's one of the other things that didn't make sense until almost the end. She wasn't an LAPD officer when she did this. She worked at some podunk sheriff place that was in a completely different city that you don't even realize that she was a different kind of cop before she goes to that FBI guy, and that none of the people at the LAPD have any idea about what the hell this chick has done. So this is a screenplay failure. This was Phil Hay and Matt Manford. Yes, I looked up their names so I could talk shit about them using their names. Phil and Matt don't know women, first of all. This role, the whole time I'm watching it with this whole storyline they do, felt like they just inverted a dude's role for a woman. So a lot of the things that a man could get away with doing in his job and looking a hot mess and coming to work drunk. We've all seen this movie with LAPD cops and detectives who were dirty or who were on the take or who've done something wrong.
Gerard Butler's character from Den of Thieves. He was doing that shit. He was showing up drunk. That was his character. It's literally his character from that movie, yo.
And he looked far better
than
Nicole did the whole movie he did it. But So that's a screenplay failure. You don't even realize that when all this shit went wrong in this old undercover case, she was a sheriff in a smaller town, which is why they picked her, because nobody would know her. And they said she'd fit with their guy who was already in. So not only did they put someone who had absolutely no business being undercover, they didn't even give her any limits or boundaries of how she was supposed to be undercover. So you can assume that she came out from undercover. They found out that she got knocked up when she was undercover and that she's pregnant. And that what she called from a parking lot with somebody who she had basically, quote unquote, taken into custody after she called herself, you know, still trying to go through with the plan to steal money from the heist. You don't know any of this stuff. And if you don't know those were her motivations and that's the reason why she feels guilty, you have no idea why she's running around town acting all fool, trying to look like Silas. And so you think it's just because, well, he killed her partner when they were undercover. So I guess that was supposed to be the great reveal. And that's the part you were supposed to be focused on. But everything else about this story is where the interesting stuff is. And they didn't have the chops to write it and let alone give her something to put on screen properly.
I kind of feel like my bad. Go ahead, Joy.
I was going to say, I didn't even know that. And I've seen the movie. I did not know any of that, that she was at a local sheriff's office. I just assumed she was a part of the LAPD. And yeah, I had no clue.
Because they hide the facts.
Sorry.
They hide the evidence.
When I get really bored in these kinds of movies, the thing about what I like to, I read this shit. So maybe that's why I started picking up on this type of stuff. I read these books, these types of mysteries and noir stories and, you know, flips on, you know, good cop gone bad or bad cop does a good thing for once in their life type shit. So these types of things pop out at me. I'm not surprised you missed it in the movie because it was like half a second.
Well, the other thing too is, you know what I did? Cause I caught that, but you know what? It's so funny you mentioned reading it. I turned on subtitles. So the subtitles forced me to read what they were saying, because what you would find is sometimes they're talking about these things and it's almost like they're talking about it in the background. And if you don't have the subtitles on, you don't hear it. You don't see it. And you're like, oh, okay, that's what's really going on here. It's like, when the movie
So you cheated.
Yeah, I mean, you got to.
I was in a surround sound theater and I didn't hear this shit.
No, yeah, I had to cheat. That's it. I had to cheat. I had to put the subtitles on to understand what's going on in this film. Even with this whole circular storytelling they're doing here, I kind of figured that's what they were trying to do, even though they try to hide it, but it then makes it so that the story still then kind of doesn't make sense, because then you want to go back and then think about the whole thing again. You're like, So wait, she just out of the blue decided to do all this shit? Like, what the? I don't know.
This film made me come up with two new terms. One of them being storytelling circle jerking, and the other one is scripts like this need to be sent to the Ray Liotta character school of dirty copping. This just, I don't understand. Like, I don't get how you crash and burn so hard with a film that has some very basic elements that we've seen done over and over again every year in multiple films, time and time again.
What I think sucks is people are going to think this movie is like innovative, and they're going to make comparisons to really good films, and we're all going to want to just cry. I can already see it, not just because they wanted to nominate her for this. People think, I mean, this story is super simple, and you said you missed the beginning of the film when you were late, B.
I walked in. I arrived 4 minutes late to the theater, so I walked in right as the kickflip landed, and she was sitting in her car. And then, like, the story started from there for me. So I didn't see the whole her coming back from the body and all of that shit. So when I walked in, she was sitting in a police car, and some kid had landed a kickflip.
Yeah. So people are gonna think that the whole move of, I had one person actually come out and say, "Yeah, I kind of like that Usual Suspects wraparound," and I actually
said what?
Mm-mm. Yeah, my whole body flinched. I was like, "How dare you? How dare you?"
My hand just balled up in a fist when you said that. I literally involuntarily formed a fist.
I would ask those people, could you'd be like, "Okay, explain to me what actually happened in the movie. Like, explain Nicole Kidman's character, why she was doing any of this." And to me, that's like the break or make of, does your opinion matter as far as if this is a good film or not? Because if
I know they could.
You said they could or couldn't? Or you know they could or think they can?
I know they can. What sucks is this type of simplistic, hash-handed type of bullshit. They think this stuff like, oh, well, yeah, you know, it took the audience on a journey and, you know, you had to pay attention. I'm like, no, you didn't have to pay attention. If you didn't figure this stuff...
That don't mean I want to go on that shit. Like,
yeah, I can get lost in IKEA and find shit I can't afford all the fucking time. It don't mean I came in there for more than a hot dog. I mean, what the fuck you want from me?
As Nicole Kidman's skin in this movie. So, if I wanted that type of journey, I could go buy fruit there. Lord pray.
But people are going to try to hype this movie up as being like, you know, and some type of inventive storytelling. And they're not going to admit this story is so slow that you could go watch a whole other movie and come back and not have missed anything.
Yeah, it is. It's
pretty much.
I'm not the character.
Well, the only one in this movie who was interesting to me was the little girl, the daughter.
So I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a good little segue.
She should have had the taste smacked out of her mouth.
So that's a good segue to what I was about to say, because this is going to tie into a premium show we're going to record after this. But what is with this award season and the what the hell in whiteness when it comes to white parents and their kids? Because between this, Ben is back, Beautiful Boy, Destroyer now, On the Basis of Sex, all this is a white kid talking back to their parents. Like, I had a conversation on, I was texting back and forth with Brandon about this. It was like, part of my problem watching these films is I now feel like what white critics feel like when they watch black movies. Like, I cannot relate to this shit. I cannot relate to these little white kids saying this shit and talking this way to their parents. Like, same thing. As a matter of fact, it happened in whatchamacallit? I just can't get it.
Chris, at least they're talking back to him, because you ain't even mentioned the number one terrible, terrible child of this year, which is Kelly Spinet in Bad Times at El Royale. She just straight up murdered her parents.
That's a little bit different. One, we like that movie, but two, like, she was crazy. I felt like there was something there. Like, I also think that wasn't she being abused? So it's like that. I understand. Like, those kind of stories, I get. I don't get these stories where it's just like, you know, the relationship between the two kids, the parent and the child is so like destroyed. Also, when the child who's also wrong but is also more of an adult than the parent is, because like in this case, like, you know, the little girl is dealing with this 24-year-old dude who is clearly not good for her. But at the same time, I'm like, yeah, but Aaron really can't say anything to you because she's also drunk and is full of shit too. So it's like, like, is this what whiteness is? Like, is this what white people do because they have no, yeah, they have privilege? I can't relate to it.
I have been in the house when I was younger. I have been in the house of one of my really good friends. They were all, her whole, everybody in the family was white. And her mother told her to get up to do something. And without even a pause for a deep inhale, she yelled over her shoulder, "I'll get to it when I fucking get to it."
Son.
And I looked at her and I was like, "Are you talking to your mom?" She's like, "Yeah, she can just fucking wait. We're busy." I was like, she's okay with that? Like, do I need to, are you, this is cool? You can talk to your mom like that? She's like, "What is she gonna do?" I said, "I don't know, snatch the life out of your body." I was like, "Beat you with an inch of your life, take away all your privileges."
I don't know. I actually would have. I probably would have got up and went and did it because I don't want your mom.
I did.
Like, at that point, I'm like, oh.
But that's
when I realized I got up and went. I was like, I got it. And her mom's like, "Oh, you're so sweet." I said, "No, ma'am. I mean, you said this."
That's the thing about that's why I just cannot relate to these. I see these things happen. I see these kids talk back, and I'm like, oh wow, that's like, I look at it like it's some fantasy. Like I watch Aquaman, and I'm like, you know, for all quality aside, I'm like, that's very fantastical, right? But when I see kids like talking back to their parents like that in these white movies, I'm just like, that's unbelievable. Okay. I'm sorry, I can't go with that.
Okay,
that just,
Joy, you're 16. You're 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You were dating a 22-year-old man.
No, I'm not. We can't even continue this. We can't even.
Let me, my has found you underage in a grown folks bar.
No, first of all, on one hand, in this story, right? Because I'm a smart ass, I definitely would have been like, raise your hand. Like, if you don't take a bath daily, you don't get to have an opinion. But on the other hand, as a black child in real life, let me tell you what Rhonda V. Childs would have done. They absolutely would have gotten. My father is 6'3". My dad is a big dude. My dad also used to be a drug dealer from the Bronx. He will kill everyone. He does not care. He was a drug dealer before he found the Lord. And my mother is more scary because she is the kinder one, but she will fuck you up quietly. Like, wait, nobody will know that you died. She will hide the body.
Every time I hear one talking back and say something, just like, that's bold, yo. I don't know about that. That just...
Bruh.
Do white kids do
that? From dodgeball, yeah, bold move. God, let's see how right, that works out. Right.
Yeah, I was like, wow. Like, I was, and then when you find out that she doesn't even have custody of her daughter,
wait, how?
She's not even giving her money for real, like that. Like, that, but that, like, it's fantastical in these films, and yet I felt the same way with the way Amy Adams talked to her mother in Vice. Like, Dick wants some coffee? No, Mom, Dick doesn't want some fucking coffee. Get out of here. I'm like, damn. I can't talk to my mom like that right now. Right? Like no. Now. I'm 30. I'm 30
just now lifted like the that. Ban on me being able to say shit without getting talked back to.
Like, we all pay bills, and I could not talk to my mother like that now.
No. Even in my own house, if my mama wants to know if somebody needs something, she's getting a damn answer.
Yeah. I can't be like, no, Dick wants some fucking coffee. Mom, get out of here. Get out of here. Not in my own house. And she was doing that in her mama house while Dick was living with them up in her mama house.
So every time Shelby talked, all I was like, I'd be picking my face up off the floor. It wouldn't matter whether or not I told the judge I didn't want to live with my mama or not. She still pushed me out. She could still take me out. So and I was like, I don't understand. But you're right. This girl, who played Shelby? Jay Pettyjohn or something like that. She's a really good actress.
Yeah, Jade Pettyjohn. Yeah.
Is it Jade?
Yeah, it's Jade.
Okay. She's a really good actress, but I felt like she didn't have somebody who was of the appropriate parental caliber to act against. So it made her feel artificial. Like,
it was too much.
Just honestly, yeah, it made everything she did felt like it was all too much.
Because it didn't make any sense that Aaron would all of a sudden give a fuck. And then, because another thing is like, where is the father who actually has, Ethan, who actually has custody? He's which was weird to me because I'm like, okay, so how fucked up is your life that your ex-husband got custody of his non-biological child? Like, how fucked up like at that point, like her trying to, so when you get that whole realization, you're like, wait a minute, why are you over here trying to dictate what she does with her life right now? You clearly are fucked up. You clearly have no saying that. And while I can take the, you know, the whiteness out of it, it's just like, even if she wasn't doing anything, you don't have the right to show up at this point because you gave up the your parental rights. Like, you just can't. I don't know. It drove me crazy.
I guess the whole movie was supposed to be about how she destroys everything she touches, and but I didn't care. I didn't care about her. The people who I cared about, Tatiana Maslany, partially because she looked like she was out of her fucking mind crazy, cackling in the trunk. So you just stomp shit out somebody and they said, be quiet. You're like, all right, cool. We talk about it when we get to my house, you know? But did anybody care about anybody in this movie?
I cared. I unfortunately did care about that unfortunate dry ass hand job she gave old boy.
Oh my God. We've seen better hand jobs. We've seen better dry hand jobs in The Favorite.
Right.
Better dry hand jobs.
It's like everything was better.
I just didn't see it at all because she ain't put, like, I just didn't want to see any of it.
All of it was unfortunate. The whole thing, entire thing was unfortunate.
It's already desert hot, and then she's doing this dry ass hand job in her home. You can tell has no AC in it. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm just like,
But the whole point that it took. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, you know she don't wash her hands.
Wash anything else.
God.
Why would you want that in your face? What's wrong? I know you're dying, but have some dignity. Shit. But yeah, but how long did it take before you realized that dude was actually important?
I mean, was he really, though?
Yeah.
I mean, he was the segue to the one flashback that lets you know how the hell everybody ended up together. And then you realize later he's a dude who was in the truck who never told on her she called it in.
But I kind of figured that when that scene happened. But I guess you're right. Story-wise, he's important. But I guess it also wasn't important because none of it was important.
But that's what I mean. Like, it doesn't click. Nothing registered when it was happening that these were things that were foreshadowing of things that are considered that are essential story elements. Right.
I'm not picking it up. I'm just this move. Now that we've talked about it, God, I don't know if I'm more upset that I watched the film or more upset that I joined the review to talk about this again. Because going back. Some of these things, that hand job just did me in right there. That was it.
Yeah, listen, I'm telling you, like, it's crazy that we got a better dry hand job in a movie this year. That ain't that a bitch. Like, that is hilarious to me.
Yeah, yeah.
That hand job is full on abstinence. Yeah. God, like, I just.
Yeah, we've had better reason for people to be funky.
Because old boy in the Favorite was kind of like on some. She just doesn't care. Like, her entire, like, not giving a fuck while giving him that.
She had her whole back to him.
Like, it was so disrespectful. It was like probably the most disrespectful dry hand job I've ever seen in my life.
She's carried on a whole conversation with people who didn't exist. That's how little he mattered in the world.
This one was just disgusting. Like, everything about it was just made me uncomfortable. I almost wanted to move you off. I was like, ah, God, I got to do this review, but like, do I have to watch this? Like,
and for imagine who had to do the sound effect that scene, like who scored
no.
it.
Why would you say that? I'm really disappointed.
All right, I need some mayonnaise. I need a filled water balloon and some raw chicken. Let's just go from that. Like, just.
Clapping pieces together.
Also, shout out to Natalia Cordova Buckley from Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. I thought that was her in the film, and I just looked at the IMDb. So I was like, oh, so you did get that's actually not bad for her because I think Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. was like her first time being a regular on the last season on Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. was her first time being a regular on American TV. So. Mm-hmm. You know, good luck. They didn't use her for anything other than that quick scene in the very beginning, but like, shout out to her for being in this
movie.
Do
you think she's upset about not being in this film more?
I don't think so. Well, actually, you know what? The way people were kind of sucking the dick of this movie, maybe, but like, from my point of view, no.
I think appropriately put, the way that people are giving this film the hand job.
I'm sorry.
Maybe.
Yeah. It's dry. And it involves mayonnaise.
Okay, so out of ten dry hand jobs, how many dry hand jobs does this movie?
You
read the-
You are so foolish.
Oh, Jesus. I don't know. I really didn't like this movie. I've talked shit about this movie since I saw it. I guess. I don't know. I'm a pass for a minute. I gotta think about it. I don't think
I have a score. I'm gonna give an arbitrary score like Brandon typically does. I'm gonna say X number. I don't know what this number is yet. If you want to see a better heist film, see Widows. If you want to see a better female directed film, see The Writer.
If you want to see a better heist film, just fast forward all the way to the end and watch Tatiana Maslany do her heist real quick. Just watch that part of the movie and then turn it off. Yeah, because that part was better.
He's going to watch Orphan Black.
I guess we just give it a blanket 5 dry hand drops and call it a day for everybody.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it's worth a 5, but maybe.
When I watched it, I was like, I'm not a fan. But like now talking it through, I didn't realize how much of not of a fan I was. I think I'm with Brandon where it's like talking it out makes me more mad. Cause I'm like, wow. Mm-hmm. And then immediately after I saw that, I went to go see Vice. And I was just like,
I got lucky. I got to see this and then turn around and I got to watch Beale Street. So Jesus loved me this day.
Wow, that's the cleanser right there. Mm-hmm. That was a cleanser
of black love and cleanliness. Like literally, yeah. Emphasis on cleanser. Absolutely.
I give this four very needed Silkwood showers. How about that?
Silkwood shower.
Oh. We can go old school. You know, the movie where Meryl Streep worked in there and she had to like completely be doused to come out of her job and it's the Silkwood plant because everything in there is like nasty and toxic and radiating and kill you. This movie needs about 4 Silkwood showers.
You know what I'm thinking about? When I think about how they did. Go ahead, Brandon.
What the
fuck? when I think, are you okay,
Brandon?
I'm bewildered that they implemented this in multiple cities. They were like, we're going to show you Destroyer first, and then we'll show you Vice. Why?
I'm thinking about back to, you know, how they made Nicole Kidman look in this film. All I can think of is they try to pull a Charlize Theron with a monster, first of all, and, you know, it wasn't as well done. But then, two, if you just wanted to show a woman that was, like, not taking care of herself, that's what they did with Melissa McCarthy in Can You Ever Forgive Me? It's just like...
I'm sorry, but Lee Israel was a frumpy, dumpy woman who gave 2 fucks about what she looked like.
Exactly.
And Charlize Theron had to gain the weight and change the way her... Because the woman had droopy, drunk, I do drugs, live on the street face, mm-hmm. and she was off of a real person. There's absolutely no reason that they felt like... You and I both know no woman on the face of the earth would be allowed to walk around looking like this decompensating on her fucking job or in life in general without somebody saying something.
Well, even
this was just some bullshit.
Well, even that, but it also didn't look good. Like the makeup, and when you look at it at some point, you could see like, there's one point where they're at the back of her neck and you can see where they literally pulled all whatever they put on her makeup and stuff like that into like a little corner. So like they pinned it there. Like, it just wasn't well done either. So it's just like,
I was gonna also say the makeup. When they were in the bar scene with her and Sebastian Stan, I was like, this makeup ain't good either. I was like,
I'm supposed to be younger?
Yeah, I was like, ooh, this ain't good either, sis. Like, this, none of the makeup was good. The makeup department, we need to have a word. Okay, now I actually have a score. I'm going to give this 4.5 beef jerkies.
I agree. This is why Aquaman CGI'd her face.
That makeup was, that wig too was terrible when she was in the bar. All of it was not good. Also, what type of drugs do you think she was doing? Because I think she went straight to crystal meth. Like, I don't think
she went pro immediately. She was snorting meth right up her nose, drinking it in her beer, licking it off people's shoulders. She just was doing crystal. She was a drinker.
On meth tablets. I feel like that's something we haven't seen hit the streets yet, but she had access to it.
She did either that or K2. K2 is typically like you see more black people in New York do K2 and they walk around like zombies when she looked like a zombie. So I also think she did K2.
Yeah. She would just drop it, little droplets under her tongue, rolling out in her day.
That Gary Oldman was taking in a professional that made him look up to God and like strain his whole neck. Cause I feel like that's what drugs she.
Okay, this is the truth. When Gary Oldman at his crusty, dusty, I'm on drugs, bring me everyone best, looks better than you.
Yeah.
All right. You've taken every wrong turn you can take. All right, your
Brandon, what is your score?
I'm giving this I'm gonna give this 4.5 Night of the Living Jerk Offs. Yeah.
Oh, if you want to see a movie about a cop losing their shit, pick any episode of NYPD Blue. Don't see this movie.
Also, there's the episode. Remember when Finn Tutuola and Law and Order SVU went undercover as in the drug? Like,
yes.
And then, like, he killed somebody. And
yes.
Bro, don't watch that. Watch that, dog. Watch that. I watch. This don't is, watch this is my Law and Order knowledge comes into play. Watch that today, y'all.
Yeah, this is an insult to noir films. It's an insult to heist movies. Just fuck these screenplay writers.
Well, no, and you. I'm sorry, you got to blame the director too. I know you.
We already established that the only thing I like about it was her take on noir. Everything else is trash.
Yeah, like, and she, oh my god, I'm looking at like the she did The Invitation, but she also did Xenon Flux, and I'm just like,
wait, she did?
Right. Yes, she did.
Not a fan of
and talking about how the things she learned on Aeon Flux helped her in this movie, so she ain't learned much.
The failure, failure here. What are we talking about?
No, that's what she said in an interview. There was a whole interview talking about the things and the takeaways from Aeon Flux and what she brought to the Destroyer. Apparently, she paid attention to all the wrong shit.
Well, the takeaway shouldn't have been don't do this movie.
Yeah,
that should have been the takeaway.
Pick better screenplays. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. This is not the one. Or the takeaway is ignore everybody and make the heist movie. And the real cast Aaron Bell is with Tatiana Maslany.
If we're gonna
and
give
if you
somebody,
have to have Nicole Kidman kill her.
Damn, if we're gonna give somebody an award for acting here, I feel like we should give it to Nicole Kidman for enthusiasm during her interviews about this movie and actually trying to make it sound like this was a good job.
She seems really excited about this. Also, man, I feel bad, slightly bad about Sebastian Stan is actually a good actor and he plays a lot of supporting roles. Like, I really enjoyed him in I, Tonya as Jeff Galooly. So when I saw this, I was like, oh, okay, I'm into this. I, Tonya was quietly one of my favorite movies of last year. And then when I saw this, I was like, dog, what are you doing?
He was solid. We just didn't get enough of him.
No, he was actually really good. Like, I really, really enjoyed him. Like, for the limited that he got as, like, love dream boy. I don't know what this was.
Right. That's what I'm telling you. Everybody that we got very little of did a brilliant part with their job. And that's why I was like, y'all made the wrong. No one cares about Aaron Bell. We might have cared about Aaron Bell if at least the first half of the movie would have given us her undercover with Chris. And then we see the decompensation. But everybody's like, oh, we're just going to make the movie about the aftermath. But nobody gives a shit about your main character in this aftermath. If she's trash from day one and ends up being, I don't even, what is below trash? I mean, I know Skank is in there somewhere, but I think she slides right under that. I don't really know exactly where she goes with this role. But this is some bad, tropey-ass bullshit on women.
Yeah. Also, like, Nicole Kidman, you are amazing in what is it, Big Little Lies? You don't need to do this. Like, don't, you don't have to do these roles anymore. It's okay. Like, you're worse.
Is this like, I just don't understand how she looks worse than Allison Janney dying of lung cancer with a parrot on her shoulder.
That is very true. Because
wow, you're right.
Jesus. Wow. Like,
Allison Janney is a true through and through piece of shit in I, Tonya, and she looks it. And yet, like every piece of clothing she wears in that movie is made out of cat fur. And somehow, yeah, he still looks more approachable than Nicole Kidman in this movie.
Because what she did was genuine, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it felt the whole film in general, like, if you had to summarize this film, this film was very contrived. Everything felt super contrived. Like, none of it felt authentic. The acting, though it was serviceable, was still like, okay, I could keep this. Like, it was a waste of everybody's time.
None of the beats from the score were plotted well, but or they might have been, and then they just were, you know, not supported with severely underwhelming scenes. I don't know. But, like, even the score couldn't help.
They tried to make it sound really intense when nothing was going on. And, like, I would love for my life to be like that. I would love to have intense music playing in the background when, like, I go to pick up a Slurpee at 7-Eleven or something. I feel like that would be awesome. But I don't want an award for it. Like, I'm sorry. It's just not good.
Yeah, no.
Cool. but it's not good. And I'm way past cool at this point. Matt, can we take this score and put it in Aquaman and take Aquaman's score and put it on this and see if that fixes these films?
Jesus Christ. I don't want to talk about Aquaman. Well, there you guys have it. This probably is going to be the last official movie trailer reviews feed review of 2018. We'll be back. We have plenty more movies to review. Don't get me wrong. I think I've already put out like three more we got to do after the premium stuff. So we'll have plenty more reviews coming in 2019. So just stay tuned. We're not really taking a break. And we also have our preview show coming soon whenever I decide to actually schedule it. So yeah, folks, thank you guys very much for listening. Make sure you subscribe. Movie Trailer Reviews Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play Music, Stitcher, or Spotify as well. And check out our merchandise at tpublic.com/store/mtr-network. Until next time, we are out of here. Peace.